got a note up here reminding for the pastor's trip to Wyoming. $1,090 short, right? So, if you can help on that, please do so. This morning we're going to look at a little bit of the Old Testament, talk about some typology. We've been, looking about, looking at the charts and things of that nature, the mysteries, the judgments. But I want to go back and, I don't know how many Sundays, maybe a few, but look at, in the Old Testament, is the New Testament unfolded. It's in there. And the New Testament's the Old Testament unfolded. God declares things from the beginning. And let's start by reading Isaiah 46, 9 through 12. Let me get some more.
What did you say, Isaiah what?
46, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 46. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And as I quoted that scripture last week, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? But he's declared from the beginning the end. This Old Testament, you can go in the Old Testament, it amazes me sometimes to look at the openness. I guess I had read, I don't know how many times I've read Genesis, and always get a blessing, from reading, but had never looked and saw. Somebody has to get your wheels rolling. As Brother David and I was talking this week, somebody may make a statement sometime, and that'll start you studying. Get your wheels rolling in that subject, and you'll go look. And I want us to look this morning and go to Genesis. Let's start in chapter 12. Abraham is a type of the father. Isaac, his son, is a type of Christ. Now, this preacher covered some of this a couple of weeks ago, talking about Abraham and Eliezer, the servant, is a type of the Holy Spirit. Lot is a type of the flesh. And the bad seed. But in Genesis chapter 12, I want you to pay particular attention. And I'll try to follow my notes today. Maybe it'll make a little bit more sense. But in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Okay, so what's the first thing he does? He takes his nephew with him. Direct disobedience to the word of God. Sometimes we don't think little things matter. I hear that all the time. Well, we all look at the same thing at the end. Little things matter. When God made the statement, what did he say? Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He is going to make, he's making some promises to Abraham, and the promises are about his seed. And they were not to Lot. Okay? And Lot's coming in on this. Let me just start right back here. I want you to look at what God had to do because of that one instance right there. He took Lot with him. All right. Now look at chapter 13. I'm going to look at a lot of scriptures today, and all of them's going to be right in this part of Genesis. And we're going to see a trail, and we're going to see how particular God is about salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And there's no other way. I don't care how good the people are. I don't care how much. It just, there's no other way. You see, I would say here, and this is just me talking, Abraham's disobedience there caused some problems for Lot too, didn't it? Huh? When we disobey the word of God in any little thing, doctrine is for a purpose. And when we disobey the doctrine of the scripture or the doctrine of what God said, it's going to lead to problems. Somewhere down the road, it's going to get worse for the next one. But in 13:9, I want you to look at this. All right, in 12, God calls him out and separates Abraham, but he brings Lot with him. All right, now look at 13:9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. God had to bring some problems. We're not going to look these problems up, but you know what they were. They were between the herdsmen. But God just stirred up the eagle's nest. Got some things moved out. Now I want you to look at 13:14. And why does he do this? Why is this happening in Genesis, right in here in this early part? Because of the seed. You got Lot's people mixing, you know, in there. And he told them, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Now look here in 13:14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. You ought to underline that. That's critical. He didn't say that before Lot was separated, but after. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. These are land promises and seed promise. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, unto thy seed forever. And that seed, you can go over in Revelation and you'll see where Jesus is given the deed, hadn't he? He got the deed to this world. It's all his. We think we own it. Nah, own nothing. Only dirt we're going to take is what they throw over top of us, and we ain't taking that with us. I'm telling you. But you see here in 15, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now you look in 13:14. Now look at 14:22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to the shoe latches, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. God will not give his glory nor his credit to anyone. Abraham is a type of the Father in these scriptures here. God, he will not give his glory nor his credit. You see that? The king's saying, oh, he'd give him this, he'd give him that, he'd do this. He said he wouldn't take it. He didn't want it to be said that anybody but God made him rich, blessed him and his seed. All right? Now look at in chapter 15. Are you following me now? Chapter 12, Abram's called. He takes Lot with him. Creates a problem in the promises of God that's going to come down the road. You see, what we're going through today in this country is where somebody dropped the ball just a little bit years ago. Just a little bit. Oh, that'll be all right. When God says something, stay with what God said. All right? Then you see in 13 and 14, only God will get the credit for that seed. You see that? Why did he choose a woman and a man who's that old? When he called Abraham out, Abraham's 75 years old. Why would he do that? Because he is particular in salvation. And he will get the credit. His glory will go to no man. Amen? And any time he praises us, like in that he praises, at the end he's praising the glory of his grace. Amen? The Christ that's in us. All right. Now, in 15 is a covenant. God goes ahead. He clears everything out of the way, takes the obstacles out of the way. Then he gives a covenant. In 15:1, and it is a covenant, and we won't spend much time there. We've talked a lot about this in this class. You remember how many lessons we've had on the covenant? When God told Abraham he would do this for him, and he would, Abraham says, how do I know you will? He wanted a surety that God didn't punish him for that. He said, go get me a heifer. Didn't he? And what did he do? He did something every Hebrew understood. He did a cut covenant. But you'll see only God will get the credit and the glory. He puts Abraham to sleep in chapter 15. And when Abraham wakes and looks out there, he sees the front lamp and the front, you know, going in and out of the cut covenant. Remember, the covenant was done by men standing back to back, walking out in the figure eight, coming and facing each other and giving their commitments to the covenant. But who did that? God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. The sacrifice was the Lord. The deity did that covenant. Not salvation is of the Lord. It's not of works. Abraham went out there and tried to shoo the birds away, didn't he? Birds are a type of the evil spirit. God took care of that. You see, then the covenant's given in chapter 15. And you'll see covenants all the way through the Bible. I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but I'm not going there. Look at David and Jonathan. That was a covenant. David loved Jonathan. Jonathan loved David with all his heart. And they did a covenant. They exchanged robes and belts and the armor and said, your battle's my battle. Then when David took over, praise the Lord, this is going to, what's happening with the son when he takes over. Is there any in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? That's what he said. And he said, down there in Lodabar is Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth had done nothing to deserve going to the king's palace. Nothing. But David was showing him kindness because of his covenant and his promise with Jonathan. Amen? And God's going to do that for us. Is the Indian, and he's got, in Ephesians, he's going to present us to the Father. I'm not spending a lot of time. We're just going up through these chapters and looking at them, all right? And in chapter 16, it's not moving fast enough for Sarah. Is it? No. Sarah's old. Abraham's old. And she brings Hagar to Abraham to bear the seed. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. God's going to keep his word. He's pregnant thing from the beginning. Why do you think he chose 100-year-old people? To show it is God. So, here in chapter 16, Sarah brings Hagar, and this is the children of the flesh. Romans chapter 9, not all the house, these are the children of the flesh. You can go to Romans chapter 9 and read about the children of the flesh. So Hagar is brought to Abram. And Abram hearkened to the voice of his wife. Didn't he? You know why? Same reason Adam did. Adam hearkened to the voice of his wife and ate the fruit. All right? It's just beautiful the way the Bible. I'm just going, I ain't even looking. I'm not even reading anything. Just showing how it's laid out. And look at chapter 17. There's a problem with the seed now. Amen? God's got to separate. So in chapter 17, circumcision is introduced. And as I've said many times in this class, what is circumcision? I went for years wondering why on earth is what circumcision had to do with such a rule in the Bible. Because of the problem of the seed. In chapter 12, Abraham's called. In chapter 13, he takes Lot with him. In chapter 13 and 14, he separates Lot, has to destroy a city. Then in chapter 17, circumcision. That seed and showing the problem for salvation, that we can't have our own salvation, we can't work our own salvation, there's a problem in our seed. Why? Because Adam and Abraham, same way, hearken to the voice of their wife. There's a problem in the seed. We're born sinners. That's what circumcision is about. Cutting away the flesh. That's why we're saved with the circumcision made without hands. And the separation of the flesh in Colossians chapter 2. So here in chapter 17, you see circumcision, and it brought up. All right, in chapter 19, let's take a look at Lot's seed. You got 18, you got the problems of that separation, how he had to separate them, the problem. All right, now let's look. You see how the children of the flesh went and what happened to them. Then in chapter 19 and verse 32. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed for our father. The seed of salvation is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not the flesh. All right, you see Lot's seed. Now, in chapter 19, look at 36. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. I may be wrong in saying this, but I see Lot as a type of the devil. You got the children of Satan. You got the children of the flesh. You got the children of Abraham. All right, look at verse 37. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. Unto this day. And go back and see what all the Moabites and what problems they caused. All from the disobedience in 12, chapter 1, and the promises of God and preserving the seed and taking care of it. Just like he did that, he did this Bible the same way. The words of the Lord are pure words. They're preserved by the Lord, kept by him. Now, we'll get through this rattling in just a minute. In chapter, so you see there, you've got, in 12, you've got Abraham called out. In 13, you've got Lot separated from him. Then you got 14, only God's going to get the credit. In 15:1, you got the covenant. Then, and the devil tries to stop the covenant, tries to break the covenant with the children of the flesh, Hagar. Not doing it God's way. I tell you what, how many people in America today are not doing it God's way? They're not doing it God's way. Then in 17, you got circumcision. In Genesis 19, you look at the seed of Lot. And then in 21, you, chapter 21, you see the true seed born, Isaac. And Isaac is what? A type of Christ. As the preacher was bringing out in his message not long ago. And this is where we're leading up to, okay? But I had to go through all of that rigmarole just to get you up to that seed. Look at all the things God had to do. Boom, chop man off. Boom, chop him off and get him out of the way there. Boom, chop him off and get him out of the way there. Okay? And then in chapter 21, you've got the seed born. Now watch the criticalness of this. In chapter 22, you've got the seed offered. Isn't that something? Look at how all these chapters lay out in a row. In 21, you've got the seed born. In 22, you've got the seed offered. Does that make sense to you? You following me? With Christ? The seed being born? The seed offered? And what's next? Sarah, chapter 23, dies. And Abraham says, take her away from my face. He said, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Sarah is a type of Israel. You got Israel rejected. And then in chapter 24, the chapter that I was doing all this to lead up to, you got Rebekah called. And where does Rebekah go? Into Sarah's tent. Into Sarah's tent. Now, that was a lot of rambling, wasn't it? I wanted to do that to get to chapter 24. And look at the typology that's here. It's amazing how Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus. Eliezer is a type of the Holy Spirit. Am I saying that right? And his name is My God is Helper. Okay? Rebekah is a picture of the virgin bride. Sarah has just been buried in a field. We'll look at these scriptures in the following week. This is amazing to me, folks. This amazes me. You probably might say, well, that's too deep. And you're going, no, it's not. It's not deep, folks. Sarah is a type of Israel. She's a treasure hid in a field. But Jesus is going to restore Israel and buy her back. Amen. Read Hosea. My goodness, that makes cold steel. That's why when you get up to Matthew chapter 13, don't poke the church where it don't go. Okay? That treasure hid in the field, yes, it's applicable to our Lord and Him buying, but salvation is not of any price. He bought it with His blood, yes, sure. That man is Christ. There's three of those parables that'll compare to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And one of them is the word and the seed, the mustard seed. They'll compare. And that treasure's hid in the field. Yeah, they'll compare. But doctrinally, it's Israel. Sarah, he said, we'll look at these scriptures next week, but I got several scriptures I'm going to go to where, like at Job. Remember when we read Job 13? And I told you that Job is a type of Israel in the tribulation period. And he says to God, why have you hid your face from me? But brother, after Sarah was buried in a field, Rebekah is called, brought to Isaac, and he was comforted from the death of his mother. Jesus stood over Israel and wept, didn't he? Jerusalem, 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 said, if you'd only come to me, I'd have tucked you under my wing like a mother hen does her chick, but you would not. you would not come. But the church comforts him. Because why? They'll come. So let's look at some scriptures now in chapter 24. I'll read, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abram in all things. And Abraham said unto his elder servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. That's critical. Underline that if you mark in your Bible. Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Now, some people make that a sexual move, but you got to watch that. I'm not sure about that. Because the legs of a man are strength, okay? The legs of a man in the Bible are speaking of strength. And he said, under my thigh, not between my thighs. Put your hand under my thigh. Showing his strength. All right? And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughter of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must then I needs bring thy son again into the land from which thou camest? He's not coming back here to die again. Okay, we'll look at some of these as we go too. But the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, you see the will here? Then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. Brother, God is particular in salvation. And he's not coming back to die no more. He's only crucified one time. I don't care how many times you eat the sacrament. He's not dying but one time. Okay? And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abram, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and he went. Okay, now let's look at some points here. God is selective and particular. He is. We've seen that as I laid this lesson out and going where he said, when he said to Abram, get thee out from thy land, from thy kindred. He's particular in what he said. And he cut Lot away from him because of that. And look at verse 3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And you're not coming any other way. I read in the paper this morning something before somebody talking about just doing, good. Just do good right all the way into hell. And that's bad, but that's what's going to happen. Doing good. God is particular in salvation. There's no second chances for salvation. Verse 8. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. There's no second chances. When death comes, it's over. It's just like he separates Israel from his faith. Hell is a picture of that. Remember when we went through Job? Man, you, away from the presence of God, he shuts his face off from it. All right. God wants a clean woman without spot or blemish. 24:16. Let's look at that. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. 2 Corinthians talks about the church is a chaste virgin. God is particular. All right. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 2, talking about the bride of Christ. Rebecca is a type of the church. She's a chaste virgin. Okay? The bride, you know, when Jesus came the first time, they had no room for him in the inn, right? But in 24:25, she said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender, enough and room to lodge in. The bride will accept him. You see that? There was no room for him in the inn, but there'll be room for him in the heart, in the bride. Look at verse 33. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. You see the importance of the message? This servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. This servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. Now you see the importance of repeating the message? Well, he tells that right in this chapter. He tells that story about Abraham and Abraham calling him. We don't have time this morning, maybe next week. Go to John chapter 16. I'll send you another comforter. Another, same as. And he'll speak the truth. And he'll magnify who? The Father. All the Holy Spirit talked about there was the servant when he presents the jewels, and the jewels are, I'm thinking of the word there, but they're, he gives, like we're sealed until the day of redemption. Earnest. She gets an earnest. Presented by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that earnest. All right? He wants a clean woman without spot or blemish. And the bride will have room for him. And the importance of the message. He wouldn't eat. Think about what Jesus did there in John chapter 4. When the disciples went to get food. And they said, hath any man brought him aught to eat? He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. You see the typology here? The Holy Spirit, the servant, and the presentation. The bride gets an earnest in chapter, in verse 53, 24:53. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and a raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. They got an earnest. Look at verse 63. We're going to go back and do this a little better. I'm just rushing through some of these. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening time. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. He went out at evening tide. And what's happening there at evening time when he goes out into the field to meditate? There comes the church. Buddy, when the evening, we're in the evening. You understand that? The day is far spent. The night's at hand. And he's coming. And the church is coming to meet him. We're in the evening, folks, of this dispensation. We are. The sun is setting. And when he's going out to meditate, that shows what Isaac's a type of Christ. He's out there praying for that bride. Meditating on what's going on in the Holy Spirit's work. I tell you. Let's go back and start looking at some other scriptures as we come through here. We'll take our time more next week. In chapter 8, verse 8, she must be willing to follow. She must be willing. The last part of it, look in the beginning of this book, the church has to be willing. Whosoever will, let him come. Revelation 22. Salvation is not in what you know in the mind. We make it complicated, don't we? We do. I'm always amazed at that, how complicated we'll make salvation. But the Bible don't say that. The Bible said, whosoever will, let him come. And let him take. Why, you can take the man who's the simplest. We'll call him a simpleton. But the Bible calls him a simple person who has very little understanding. But he says, I will. That's all God wants. He's done the work. Whosoever will, let him come and let him take of the water of life freely. But you know what? They have to be willing to come. And in verse 8, she had to be willing to follow. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this mine oath. When you present the plan of salvation to a person and they are unwilling to come, that don't mean you quit, of course. But you're clear from that. They got to be willing. Most people understand what you're telling them because you make it simple. Most people understand it. But you see, they're not willing. They got to be willing to come. She had to be willing to follow. If we're going to meet him in the field, we got to be willing to follow the Holy Spirit. Peter says, blessed are they who have not seen, but believe. She loved him before she ever saw him. She loved him before she saw him. That's the way we are. There wasn't somebody she was going to see that she dreaded. Boy, she lit off that camel and took off running. I tell you. You see how those chapters are laid out up through there? Sarah has to be put in a field. Abraham said, let me go so I can bury her out of my sight. Bought that parcel of land so he could bury her out of his sight. And Isaac needed comforting. And he called Rebecca, and Rebecca went into the tent of Sarah. I tell you, that's amazing to me. Might not be to you. But you see, in this, but God will resurrect Israel. There's a resurrection day coming. Israel, Ezekiel 37, will be restored. Okay? All right. I could go on and read many verses. John 5:40, the matter lies in the will. I want you to let's look at something here. The Holy Spirit enlightens, verse 34 and 35. See, the Holy Spirit enlightens the person. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master, which she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. What's he talking about? The seed. He's telling that story of the seed. The Holy Spirit enlightens a man of the seed. Then the matter lies in the will. Now I want you to look at 57 and 58, verse 57 and 58. And they said, well, let me read 56. And he said unto him, to them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. You see that? It's a matter of the will and it's a matter of the mouth. What does Romans 10 say? If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a matter of the will and the mouth. She was not forced to come. The children did not force her to come. Okay? Look at verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And he said, I will go. And she said, I will go. When you present the gospel, oh, I tell you, it makes cold chills come on. It really does. I think of my dad's testimony. Everybody says, well, that's a simple testimony. My Lord, he lived for God all his life after that. When that preacher got up and preached all week and presented Jesus Christ in the scriptures, and everybody said, well, he's the worst preacher we've had. Don't even give an invitation, they said. But at the end of the week, he said, I have presented to you this week our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who would like to take him? Who would like to go? My dad said he went up and said, I'd like to take him. I'll take what you offered. If you go on offering anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, how many doors is knocked on by Jehovah's Witnesses offering something else? Huh? Some sales pitch. Some knocked on my door 2 weeks ago. Asked if I wanted to talk about the problems in America. I want to talk about the Lord. But look at that. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? That's the question you're asking someone. Will you go? Not do you believe. Salvation is in the will. Many believe, but they won't come. Now, believing, don't get confused with me here. John 3:16, still in the Bible, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But what does he go on to say after that? Don't take one scripture out of his text, as beautiful as that scripture is. Jesus said right after that, and this is a condemnation, that men love light rather than darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Whosoever cometh of light, see that? Whosoever will. Let him come. And they required of her, And she said, I will go. No one forced her. It was a matter of will. She believed the message, right? She believed the message. And then she said, I will go. I got you. She said, I will go. I will. She could have said, well, I believe what you're saying, but I don't want to go. I will go. We'll look at this some more next week. After this, she's received into the home of the Father. She goes, she meets Isaac in the field. She lights off the camel, and she goes to meet him. And she received into the Father's house. Ain't that something? She's received into his house. But the thing I want you to look at here too is Abraham has put Sarah out of his sight in chapter 23, and Rebecca is called the church. Right now, Israel is rejected. See that? Sarah is a type of Israel. Sarah is Israel hid in the field. Matthew 13:44, Deuteronomy 31:17, Isaiah 54:8, Psalms 13:1, Job 13:24. If you want to go look those up. Israel cries out in that last days, why have you hid your face from me? But you see, he comes out into the field to meet Rebecca. That's a type of the rapture. He didn't just call to the home. He went out into the field, and there's where he met her. Field's the type of the world. The sower went out to sow. The field's the type of the world. We'll look at these some more next week, but I hope you see from that when you go to Genesis chapter 12, you see Abraham called out. Then you see he takes Lot with him. Chapter 13, he has to separate Lot from him. In chapter 15, you got the covenants. 17, you got circumcision. 18, you got the bad seed, Lot's seed. 16, you got Hagar being brought to him. Chapter 23, you've got Sarah, Israel, being buried out of his sight. And then the church called in chapter 24. Rebecca, a type of the church. Type of the Holy Spirit, going out to call the church and saying, will you come? Will you go with this man? Wow. Will you go with this man? The Holy Spirit. Will you go with him? If you will, you receive earnest the Holy Spirit in your heart until you meet him in the field. And she loved him, although she had never met him. Amen. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us, and thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you'll bless it to our hearts and give us, Lord, a desire to want to read it and learn more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.